Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist for the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now!
For
God's
sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there. Welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth. That there's Rex Hupke. We are collectively a little punchy,
woo,
maybe a little sleep deprived and super caffeinated today. So
yes, all those things.
It's anyone's game today.
Right, exactly.
Like, who knows where things will go.
Guth and Hupke on whatever.
In fact, I would say what set the tone a bit for me was on the way in, I was on the bus and this dude hopped on who can only be described as emo Eric Trump. And so
I wish you could have gotten a picture of him.
I was really thinking about it, but he was busy staring directly at me the entire time.
That's nice.
I'm sure thinking, murder target.
Exactly.
Bite the limb, drink the blood.
I must drain her.
Yeah, yes. He was like creepily staring at me. So I was like, all right, emo Eric Trump, move it along. Move it along then. So I'll just tell the listeners about our text exchange in which I said, on the bus with emo Eric Trump, please mansplain what I should do. That's where it started.
Always ready to mansplain.
Please mansplain it to me. Help me. And he and I was just, and that was mostly because I was like, I need to look at my phone because this creep is staring at me. And he was like very sharply dressed and had like really cool. Actually, he had like his clothes were so nice. I was almost like, why the hell are you on the bus with us commoners?
Right. With the
like he was
folks.
Fancy. Right. And had a very fancy kind of little. Not briefcase, the satchel, not messenger bag. That sounds
right.
Too like this is a refined briefcase with like a purse strap on it.
Dignified man satchel.
Yeah, okay. A dignified merce is what he had going. The little European utility bag.
Oh yeah, okay,
right.
Cool.
He had that going on.
Wowzers.
And he was just like staring at me, and I'm like,
did he have the slicked back hair? Circa
totally.
You know, like Wall Street movie, 80s, 90s, whenever that movie was. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then I was like, I'm going to send Hupke some funny Eric Trump pictures. And I Googled, see, my phone's still on. I Googled Eric Trump vampire. And the auto suggest when you do that is remarkably entertaining. You know, as you type in, like Google suggests things that maybe other people are searching. One of the first ones for me was, is Eric Trump actually a vampire? That was one of the, that was suggested to me to consider. So I'm going to put some thought into that. I'm going with yes.
Yes.
But if you Google that, there's some really excellent kind of graphics, especially if you include the word, if you use the phrase shitty vampire.
Oh,
There's some really funny thought leadership around that.
Thought leadership. Yes. In the arena of Eric Trump memes, there's some fine thought leadership.
Yes. Someone with a fairly well-followed Twitter account called him a shitty vampire. And that's where it started. So people started saying shitty vampire things about him. But there's one in particular that says, Eric Trump looks like a shitty vampire, like he'd be selling ecstasy in Prague in the background of a Blade movie, which is not maybe too far off. Yeah, so there's that. Anyway, so I was Googling Eric Trump vampire on the bus. How the heck are you, Hupke?
Yeah, super. I did not have that fun experience.
You've had a much more dignified time lately because you have a little award that has said, you there are a super awesome, know what you're talking about journalist guy. I mean, you got lots of awards, but like this is yet the latest of them. Tell me about your wonderful acknowledgement that is so well deserved.
The award for excellence in the field of achievement for fake news.
Yes.
Gathering.
Tell me about the fake news award, the field day ribbon that you got.
Yeah. The participant. participation. Good job on being a journalist. Congratulations.
You opened the steno pad and used a pen.
Yes.
High five, buddy.
Way to go, kid.
Anyway, you got a big, awesome award.
Yeah,
tell me about it.
It was super nice. It was the Chicago Journalists Association, and it was the first year they were giving this out. It was called the Dorothy Stork Award, which is named after Dorothy Stork, obviously, who was a really, really wonderful columnist. She started out here in Chicago, then she was in Philly, and worked for the Inquirer for years, where she won a Pulitzer and various other things. And then she did wind up coming back here later in life and did a lot of freelance stuff, a lot of travel writing. And I went And I had heard the name, but I honestly, when I first heard about the award itself, I didn't know a lot about her. So I read a bunch of her work, just went on Nexus and pulled it up. And holy crap. I mean, really, the kind of person where you want to write that well.
Oh, yeah.
But you never quite get there. You know what I mean?
It's right. Like, when you, like, just one sentence, you're like, damn it, I wish I wrote that.
Right, exactly.
God, that's good.
Yeah, it was so good. So anyway, yeah. So it's for a columnist in the, obviously, in the Chicago area. And there were two finalists there with me who were amazing, Stump Connolly and Natasha from Politico.
Yeah, Karecki.
And Karecki, right. And it was just, you know, I was delighted to show up and shocked then to actually win. I still believe there was probably some kind of an error, possibly Russians, that led to my winning it.
But, I might have sent someone $5.
I may have colluded. To win the Dorothy story. No, but it was
I don't
really...
recall the exact circumstances under which I gave someone $5 who may or may not be affiliated with that.
Exactly. But yeah, it was great.
That's
exciting. I felt super honored and
well
and
deserved.
Lucky.
Well, good thanks. Job, Hopki. That's awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, no, it was very, and it was a really nice, I don't know, just a nice thing. And, you know, shucks. Thanks.
Do you get extra privileges in journalism lands now?
I don't know. I haven't. I'm going to trot around the newsroom after this and see what I can.
Please trot.
See if I can start setting things on fire. Yeah. And nobody cares or what? No. I don't believe.
I think liberties will be taken now.
I may get an extra piece of kibble in my weekly allotment.
From
George Soros. Extra food pellet, Mr. Hupke. Good job.
Food pellet. Oh my, I'm telling you guys, we're so caffeinated.
Nutrient rations will be increased 0.01%.
It's funny until that's how it happens.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
We're going to go, oh, we called it. The one thing we predicted, right?
Yeah, exactly. Womp, womp.
Good times.
Yes.
Well.
And you've been active and busy as always.
As per usual. Well, last night I took part in a really fun, cool, important event that I really was excited to be part of. It was Take the Lead Day. So there was 200 events in 90 cities in 15 countries happening simultaneously. And they're all
amazing.
Being Facebook Lived and streamed on YouTube. And it was very awesome. And it's all just a women's leadership initiative to try to get and try to reach gender parity in the workplace way before it is predicted. Mm-hmm. They're aiming for 2025, which is 70 years before we're on track to do so.
Yeah.
And that's soon, like 2025, that's within reach.
Yeah, totally.
That there is right around the bend.
Right. Yeah.
So we had a really good conversation that I think is relevant to a lot of things we talk about here on the show. It was the panel discussion was called No Bro, and it was about strategies to overcome gender discrimination, especially in tech workplaces, but any workplace, really.
Yeah.
And you know what was really, I thought it was a great conversation. It was way too short. I mean, we took 2 hours. We could have taken four. We were just getting warmed up by the time it was all done. You know, and so the panel represented different disciplines. So we had mental health, we had law, we had someone in the gamer space and you know, an advocacy and, you know, so I'm there to represent journalism. And, you know, what was cool to me is that the audience was at least half male.
Oh, that's good. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah. And I thought some pretty thoughtful questions came from the audience.
There weren't a lot of, actually...
Well, actually, that thing you said about how bitches are tripping, I disagree.
Like midway through each session, somebody's like, sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but...
I don't mean to be rude, but, well, actually, here's the thing. Yeah, no, like, there
no,
was
that... No, that is, seriously, that's a good...
I thought it was really good. Like, one guy I talked with for a little bit after, he's a student at Northwestern. He's already been participating in the biotech space for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, I've done well there. I want to keep going. But he's a pretty young guy and he's like a veteran or something, you know, and he was just saying, you know, I want to bring all my strengths to this startup I'm building. And I say, oh, what is it? And he's like, not going to tell anybody about it. And I said, well, when you're ready, you know, you got a friend in radio, come talk, you know, I'd love to hear more about it. But he asked this really thoughtful question. You know, he was really talking about, he said, I know that we lean on and fall back on the, oh, well, no qualified candidates applied. Like, how do we even get there? How do we fix that gap?
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking a little bit about kind of the language that you're using in your job posting. Do you even have the infrastructure there? Like, do you have a mat leave policy?
Right.
Do you have same-sex benefits? Like, maybe only straight white guys are working for you because you haven't thought about accommodating anybody else.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
Start there. And then, you know, and then we were talking about maybe the way in which you recruit. Sometimes if you're only doing your job fair in, say, an affluent part, you know, like an affluent white part of a city, that's who's going to apply.
Right.
So, you know, so I thought it was a really you know, thoughtful conversation. But there was one young woman who asked about microaggressions, in particular, like meetings, if someone's interrupting you, if someone's my favorite, where you make a point, people go, mm-hmm, great, thanks. And then a dude makes the point you just made. And everyone's like, oh, brilliant point, Chuck. You're like, damn it. You know, how do you deal with that? So I told her, I've done all things. I've let it go. And then been pissed off about it for weeks. I've said, that's exactly what I said. And so what, I'm not following what, where you're adding, mm-hmm. like, how are you expanding on the point that I made a moment ago? Not following, to kind of publicly shame your bitch ass, mm-hmm. Or, you know, different tactics. And I cautioned against, cause it came up in conversation, you know, some guy said something like, well, you know, sometimes I've said things like, well, just, hey man, let her talk. I think it's important to be an ally there. And I said, agreed. But I would ask, here's my favor to you all. I said, I think anybody that has any kind of hierarchical power over another person, think of this. I need you to let go of the word let, because there's a big difference in she was talking and let her talk, because let her talk still says I'm making the rules.
Right. Allow her to do this.
Right? Yeah. And I said, you know, that matters if you're the dude saying that about a woman, if you're like a white person saying that about a person of color, like there's power dynamics everywhere and be mindful of them. And I got the little snaps.
Oh, wow.
That one. I was like, nice. Okay, good. I can go home now.
You felt
I got the clicking.
Yeah. Nice one.
But it was really cool. And it was just kind of neat to like look at social media this morning around that hashtag and just see women all over the place doing all these kind of interesting things. And
it's great.
Connecting to it. It was cool. And a lot of different panel themes around the world too.
Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. And I think that, you know, I guess I don't have anything to back this up, actually. Never mind. I was going to say, I feel like my sense is that younger men mm-hmm. are more open. But I don't know if that's actually true now that I think about it, because there's plenty of younger douchebags out there.
In theory, that would make sense.
Yeah, but
there's plenty of, I get mansplained all the time by young guys, too.
Yeah. So I guess that doesn't really make sense. I don't know. I mean, I think what's got to happen is, it's not only men who are smart enough to embrace everything you're talking about, and everything obviously was discussed in a panel like that, in turn, who need to also succeed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what's going to get other men to realize, like, okay, my way of being Johnny Douchebag is not going to work.
Johnny Douchebag, I hate that guy.
Right.
Yeah, agreed.
Because, and like in your performance review, someone says, well, hey, why did Al get a raise and mm-hmm. I didn't? And they'll say, well, you know what, Al is much more open. You know, like Al is more inclusive in his thinking, and he's doing this and he's doing that. That's, you know, so I think that it has to be kind of a combination of obviously a lot more women in leadership positions. But also the men who are in leadership positions being rewarded for working in a manner that is...
Or maybe not rewarded for doing the right thing, but punished for doing the wrong thing.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a better way to put it. And that's what I mean, right?
Yeah.
Held back, basically.
Well, and then I think there's kind of an interim step, because you can put women in leadership all day. I've been in this position, right? I've worked in places where like women are put in positions of leadership where when they're hiring for a role, they're like, we really would like to hire a woman here. But yet, like, the culture doesn't support her being there, and she won't stay. It's a revolving door.
Right.
You know, there's that, too.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have it set up where, you know, if you've got men as holding most of the seats of power in an organization, she needs an advocate at a high level in order to succeed and to move forward in her career. And if she doesn't have that, or if she has that and everyone's going to think that they're boning.
Yeah.
Or he's going to hit on her the minute she comes to him for help. Like, it's just not going to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's always, like, there's all that kind of, like, difficult stuff. And I made a point, too, last night that I told a story, because I didn't participate in Me Too, because I was like, first of all, I don't want to. I don't want to air my shit right here on Facebook. Also, which story should I pick?
Right.
You know, there's just too many, from major things to microaggressions. But I did tell a story last night. It was kind of one of the first times I really experienced something like that in the workplace. I had this job in college, and the boss kept really handing me a lot of responsibility in this office and really being very complimentary of my brain. And, oh, my gosh, this process used to take 3 days, and you brought in this new thinking to it. This is so great. It was, like, really praising me. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling very confident about that. And I was, you know, I was really young. And then he grabbed me and said some really disgusting shit to me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said last night on this panel, I said, I didn't let that haunt me, but, mm-hmm. but nonetheless, the rest of my life, certainly for the decade that followed, that was very critical to anyone's career, right? In your like 20s, that was always in the back of my head.
Sure, yeah.
Like anytime someone said, great job, or I really want to work with you on this project. Anytime someone like handed me an opportunity, like you did a great job in this and I'd love for you to work on this project. There was always a voice in the back of my head. Is it because I'm good enough or is it because that guy wants to hook up?
Is this somehow transactional or something?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't think I realized how much that had been in the back of my head until, I don't know, probably I was probably my late 30s before I even made that connection.
Yeah.
It was just kind of always there. And so I told that last night. I said, you know, I don't think I've ever told this story in public, really. But here's the thing. I said, it's not just something because that's important because it's legal and it's, you know, it's not just about not breaking the law and doing the right thing. Here's the cost of it that, like, say that that wasn't just like a bullshit college job. Mm-hmm. Like, say that was the career, the field I wanted to enter. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I would have made some... the opposite of leaning in kind of decisions as a result of that.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Sure.
And I'm sure I've probably subtly made decisions in ways I don't even realize. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say like that one guy ruined my life. The footnote on that is I said last night, like, man, I wish he was staying here now. I could have punched him. But the reality is that man dropped dead soon after. I had nothing to do with it. Let the record show. But he did. And turns out, like, after he died, a lot of women in that office and people that used to work in that office said the similar things. So I think there's like strength in numbers. And I think, you know, although I didn't like the mandatory feeling nature of Me Too, I thought what was great about it is that not only did men kind of really see the severity, and even then, I think there was still sharing one experience. Like, it's hard to explain a microaggression or death by a thousand cuts if I think you don't have that cultural stance. But I think the other thing is I think it helped women go, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, sure. Which is huge.
Like, this unchecked asshole is everywhere.
Yeah.
Which is really huge.
Yeah, I mean, which is what we're seeing happen all over the place right now.
Again, you remain on the list for the revolution.
Thank you.
You will be spared.
I am truly fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, there's like six-ish of you.
Yeah, that's all right.
That'll be my contribution to people who shall get a pass.
But it is, I mean, you know, the thing is always, not every man, I know that men have experienced things like this as well, and we've seen some testimonies of that also in the Me Too moment and everything that we're going through, but by and large, most men have never had to deal with something like that.
Yeah. You know where go ahead.
No, and I'm just saying that really, that's what's, it's such a big problem is that it's hard to get enough men to sit down and put themselves in that position and think about it.
Yeah.
Because they just are like, oh, it never happened to me. I don't care. Yeah. And they move on, which is pathetic, but it's still, I think that's a big piece of all this is that you can't seem to get men to accept that this happens and that it's bad and that it's haunting and hard and all those things.
I think it's even hard to explain, you know, like I've tried to explain to a couple of guys that with really good intentions that really wanted to understand the idea of safety. Cause I've many times said, I don't believe anything is like the quote unquote safe space. Mm-hmm. I don't think anything is. And I'm actually especially suspicious of anything that calls itself a safe space. Cause that means that by nature, by definition, all of our behavior is going to be policed.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
Right.
So I said, frankly, I don't know that I feel safe anywhere. And I've had some, you know, perfectly woke dudes bristle at that. Like, what do you mean? You walk around fearful all the time. I was like, no, that's too big of a feeling. Mm-hmm. But I think there's always somewhere in the back of your mind, there's always like a threat of sexual violence of some kind. Not necessarily every day you're walking around thinking, I wonder if I'm going to get sexually assaulted. But like, if you're alone in a room with a dude, until you know him and trust him, mm-hmm. you know, there's just, I don't know, there's always the threat.
Yeah.
I mean, not threat. It's not like, okay, I'm in a room alone with Hupke. I better like get my fight stance in case I have to punch him in the face. It's not like that. But
because you know, I would just run away.
Right.
I'm very easily scared.
I'll go,
oh, no!
I'd just, like, jump at you, and you'd run away. I go, after me, run, 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 run. Right. Also, you're not a creep.
Well, yeah, that too.
There's that. That's the headline here. Rex Hupke, not a creep.
Buried the lead a little bit.
Right. But, you know, like, if you don't know a colleague, even someone you don't know well, but, like, you haven't been around very, you haven't known very long or something, you know, there's always that. Or even just, like, walking down the street at night. Like, things can happen.
Sure.
And often you will be blamed for it. Yeah. Like, three times in my life, you know, I think I've talked about several of them on the show, where, like, there was the cab driver incident, and, like, this cab driver was a creep to me. Immediately, people are like, well, that's why I don't pay with a credit card. Well, that's why I'm not out late. Well, that's why I'm like, what?
Is that my fault? Yeah.
Is my fault that this guy's a lunatic? Like, yeah, you know, and when, like, I had a purse snatcher one night on Michigan Avenue, I was like, well, I was working late. That's when I work. That's my job. Those are my hours. Thanks, bye.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like my behavior gets policed and not the dudes that try to steal my purse and assault me. So I think there's just kind of always this looming thought. And I was asked not too long ago, like, if you could be a dude for a day, what would you do? I was like, well, I would walk around at night and see what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I would be like, bet nobody can rob me. Not like that, because men experience violence all the time.
Yeah, sure.
But I think it's just in a different way. And I think that's just kind of always in the back of your head.
Yeah. No,
that, like, okay. I think women think of time differently than men. I think, like, we're always kind of thinking of past, present, and future all the time. In summation, it is exhausting to be female.
It sounds dreadful, if we're being honest. No offense, but
But the makeup is fun. No, not really.
That sucks, too.
Yeah. No, but, like, we're always thinking, like, okay, in the past, this supervisor type was a creep to me.
Uh-huh.
And then presently, I am in the room alone. Mm. In the future, how will this look? Like, there's optics of every, you know, like, I think you're always kind of thinking of that. And I think most people are, but I think there's just this added, I don't know, protective, self-protection that's kind of always running in the background.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, no, I get it. Guys, we just walk around. Yeah.
Just walk around.
Think about beer and stuff.
See, I want to be a dude for just a day to experience that. Also peeing, standing up.
Yeah, sweet.
I would write my full name. And my middle name is as long as my first and last name put together.
What's your middle name? Do we not talk about that?
No, because there's a long story attached to it. Yeah,
never mind.
Fine. No, it's fine.
I'm going to assume it's Beauregard.
Damn it. Nailed it. No, it is not Beauregard.
All right.
Anyway, hey, so we should talk about money.
Do I owe you some?
Because you owe me some money. No, you don't. No, because money's going to look a little different in a minute.
You mean because of the person signing the bills?
Yeah. Money.
Steve Mnuchin.
Your favorite word to say.
Yeah. Mnuchin.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Who we have discussed on this program for many reasons. One of those reasons was the dreadful social media post put up by his wife, who really seems like salt of the earth.
She seems like she's a few Dalmatian pelts away from a coat, basically. I mean, she's
puppies.
Yeah, she's she seems evil. I'm not going to lie to you, and that may not be fair. Maybe that's even classist of me, but she certainly She has come off as an unpleasant rich person.
She has definitely come off that way.
Yeah.
She is like, you know, people always give Gwyneth Paltrow the grief for being terminally affluent.
No.
I think like she...
Oh, she's far worse.
Oh, she makes Gwyneth look like Snow White.
I mean, Gwyneth, I think, has good intentions. They're just perverse sometimes. Just like, and she's too busy buried.
With my food stamps, I bought 5 limes and bok choy. It's not enough. We should feed people.
She said, if you need me, I'll be buried in Ethiopian lava soil for 20 minutes.
Using one of my jade vagina eggs.
Yes. Anyway.
Oh, and she was also one of the vagina steamers, wasn't she?
Yes, definitely. Oof. Yeah, that was the first time I'd heard of that. And I was like, hey now.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
Right. There'll be no steaming of the JJ, friends. No.
I generally don't want anything like that steaming.
As a general rule, keeping steam away from your genitals is a good idea no matter who you are.
Right.
That is today's health tip.
Gwyneth.
Yeah. So anyway, so there's some fun on the internets because of the money.
Yeah. So Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, has now got his name on the monies, you know, signed his signature. So he and his wife, I guess, went to the, you know, to see them getting printed off at the, at the, what is it, the Mint or
the
where?
Mint.
Yeah, wherever.
I mean, if I was the, you know, if my name was on that money, I would probably want the first dollar bill off that press, too.
I would, too. Yeah, it would be cool. So I get the whole thing, but then they...
In Hupke, we trust.
They've tweeted out photos of him and his wife holding, like, a sheet, because, you know, the bills are all printed on one sheet before they're cut, like this big sheet of dollar bills. And it... I would have gone. I would not have released the photos
because you're
fighting against an image of being a, you know, ridiculously wealthy jerkwad.
Yeah.
Both of
By
them.
By holding up a sheet of money.
And now here you are. She's dressed in like an all black leather outfit. And he's, you know, looking like whatever it is he looks like, sort of a pile of Play-Doh with glasses. and then they're holding the money with this sort of, you know, shit-eating grins on their face. And it actually looks like, you know, she's like, oh, look, because they're $1 bills. She's like, oh, darling, what are these?
Are these small bills? Is this what they call the penny?
Yes, exactly. Like, let us hold these before the poors get their filthy hand toes on them.
Right. And how many are on a sheet? How many dollar bills are on a sheet?
I don't know. It looks like around 100 or so at least. It's like it's big. I mean, it's like a poster size you know, thing he's holding up. So these photos are just terrible because, again, it just is. It looks like, you know, ultra rich people who don't give a crap about anybody.
Right.
So
meanwhile, there's someone seeing that photo who's like, oh, my God, if I could have even half of that sheet, I could buy groceries this week.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So, you know, it's just that. And it's so funny because the... You know, Trump managed to con everybody with this message of like, the forgotten men and women are never going to be forgotten again, blah, blah, blah. And meanwhile,
how's that going?
It's all rich snots, you know, running around now, leeching money out of everything. Yeah. So it's not a good picture. And the internet was just filleting it. I mean, it was absolutely fantastic what people were tweeting. Yeah. So I'm sure everyone out there will have seen it by the time they hear this because it's going like wildfire.
But, yeah, I would not have released that photo.
But then in the process of discussing this, I somehow stumbled upon a tweet that said, Steve Mnuchin sounds a lot less douchey when you replace his voice with gargling. So I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to play a quick clip of Steve Mnuchin on Meet the Press where his voice has been replaced with some gargling. Hold on. Oh dear, wait.
High tech here. We're holding on.
Is it appropriate that Tom Price was fired? Do you regret making the requests you made for government aircraft, whether it was to go to Kentucky? I know there's an inspector general on that one.
And you have to Google it because, honestly,
the visuals.
Yeah, the visual is brilliant because it's fake. His face, he's kind of got the, he sort of talks with his teeth together.
And so the gargling noise kind of works.
It just works perfectly. So it's fantastic. The internet is a wonderful tool.
Sometimes it's the worst place in the
world.
It
is.
Sometimes
often,
it
is
but
a
delight.
Yeah. It is like.
Like when you're Googling, is Eric Trump a vampire?
Right, exactly.
Steve Mnuchin gargling tapes. Oh, my God.
Good times.
Off the rails today.
Good times.
Ah, good. Yeah. So for a minute, Twitter was like, I'd say like Monday-ish, suddenly Twitter got super serious, right? It was like, this is the week out of nowhere. And then it was gone in an hour. But for like a week or for like an hour on Monday morning, people were like, now it's on. It's a new level. No one's screwing around. People are turning on him. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, no, he's still there, you guys. Ain't no P-tape yet.
There's a lot of stuff going
Until
on.
Until you got a P-tape.
Right, yeah.
Cool it.
Well, though, yeah, I think the big thing was the Don Jr.
Right.
The Don Jr. and the talking with the WikiLeaks.
No big deal. Just talking with WikiLeaks.
Like, this is, I mean, we're really seeing what happens when you put a, like, sitcom-level stupid family in charge of everything. I mean, It is absolutely striking. I mean, he's just DMing. I mean, and you know, he only responded to, I think, three of the things from WikiLeaks. But honestly, the direct messages from WikiLeaks just show how stupid he is.
Completely.
Because they were just playing with him. I mean, they were just, like, toying with the guy, hoping he would do something dumb, which he did. I mean, and it's just... I mean, you know, there was an interesting piece out there, and I can't remember who wrote it, but... So I apologize for that, but it was basically saying we need to stop saying what if there was collusion, Because at this point, there's so much evidence that now as to whether, you know, Trump himself was, you know, there's still a lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah.
But the idea that people in his campaign colluded in one form or another with Russian operatives.
I don't have questions about
that. Yeah, I mean, and again, it doesn't, you know, one of the big mistakes that I think in the interpretation of all this, and maybe that a lot of that might be because Trump himself is so defensive, and he's defensive about this not because I'm convinced he's not defensive because he's afraid of any legal problems. He simply doesn't want his election to be somehow tainted, you know.
Yeah.
Like that's his thing. He became president, and anyone who dare question that is going to be in big trouble. So I think that has more to do with it than anything else. And so he's the one that's has so severely muddied the waters and stuff about the whole issue that, you know, I just think we kind of lose track of it all. It's been blurred.
Yeah.
And just
well,
kind of
I mean,
chaotic.
That is, here's the thing. Like we've talked up to this point, but I think there's another step. We've talked often about how we can't say media or news cycle without acknowledging the role of social media and how that democratized the news cycle a bit, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I think the thing that's not being discussed is the power that social media users have to shape narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And you make an interesting point about collusion. You know, what if the narrative just overnight shifted from if there was collusion to just referring to the collusion as a foregone conclusion, like it's a thing that happened in the past and we are learning more and more about it. Yeah. If that narrative were to shift, which could be done very easily through social media users,
yeah.
I think plenty of people are critical thinkers. I don't think in mass people. I think are that.
It's more of a group think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's very easy to jump on the popular narrative with anything and accept it as right and not challenge it.
Yeah.
You know, we do that with don't read the comments, don't feed the trolls. Like, well, actually, I have the right to be wherever the fuck I want,
right,
including a public space and an online platform.
Yeah.
And do so safely or with a reasonable expectation of safety. So, you know, like we just don't challenge some narrative. So this would be an interesting one to, I mean, I think this is a way that people don't realize the power that they have, mm-hmm, in groups. And in fact, willingly surrender it on the regular daily, if not hourly,
yeah,
by furthering popular narratives without challenging them, which is not to say all popular narratives are inaccurate, but mm-hmm, I don't think any popular narrative is complete.
Yeah.
So get to tweeting, people, is what I'm saying.
Hashtag collusion conclusion. Huh? You like that?
It rolls off the tongue. It really does.
That's a game changer right there.
Is it?
But what about, I'm pivoting wildly here, but so tell me what you think about the Roy Moore situation in Alabama, because I'm getting a lot of blowback from people who, and of course there's hypocrisy all over the place in this whole situation, and on both sides, I think, because people are saying you have like already tried and convicted Judge Moore.
To you.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, I haven't. But I mean, there isn't going to be a trial. You know, this is not a matter of a trial. This is just the court of public opinion. And I'm looking at the evidence and the reporting that's been done, and it doesn't add up. And he's running for office. And so my judgment is perv. Like, my perv alarm is going off big time. And so I think that, you know, I do not have a problem. I'm not saying, and I haven't said, he is for sure guilty of these things. I'm just
and
saying,
it doesn't actually matter if you do or not. You're not a judge, and you don't
correct,
have any.
Right.
You have no ability to elect him.
Yeah.
To at this level anyway. Like you have. It does not matter. Even if you do, it doesn't matter.
But then I get the emails and stuff saying, "Well, where were you when Bill Clinton was getting, you know, in trouble for a BJ in the Oval Office?" And my response is, "I was 22 and not a journalist." But,
right.
But regardless, yeah. I do agree though that there is a certain amount of hypocrisy, you know, floating around here. And it is on all sides. It's big time on the Republican side right now, because I don't see any difference between the allegations against Roy Moore and the allegations against Donald Trump, except that Moore's involves possible inappropriate sexual contact with a 14-year-old. Any of it would be inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's the only like difference. I mean, in terms of believing,
what do you mean you don't see a difference between
in terms
of people believing,
in terms of validity, in terms of right. In other words, like, what is it about these that you are buying into where you didn't buy into? I mean, with Trump, there were more than 10 women accusing him of things. It was all fairly well documented.
Yeah, that's a great
point.
A
lot of people reinforcing those things, saying, yeah, he used to do blah, 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 blah. Not to mention the fact that he presents himself in a way and has presented himself in old Howard Stern interviews and all this other stuff as a complete lout. Mm-hmm. So it didn't, to me, that there was more than enough to judge him and say, yeah, I think he's probably did this stuff, or at least did some form of this stuff. And then with Roy Moore, it's kind of the same thing. You know, you've got all of these accusations, they're compounding. There's, I bet there will be more to come.
Yeah.
And you have people reinforcing those, you know, saying he was banned from a mall, he was yeah. And then, you know, the Bill Clinton argument is dumb in that it's not right now, but it's not invalid because without question, liberals have overlooked that and given Bill Clinton somehow a pass on some of the allegations that he faced.
I think there's even I think that's bigger. I think the Bill Clinton conversation is a much bigger one because even I think history has treated that like kind of in the way that maybe Trump's core voter does, in the, like, he's just real talk. You know, people kind of like,
oh, Bubba.
He jogs to McDonald's and he likes to, you know, he likes the ladies. And, you know, I mean, there, you know, I remember people kind of saying like, well, that's, you know what, that's between him and his wife. I don't care what he does outside of his marriage. You know, who knows what their deal is. Like, I remember plenty of people said that. I think the bigger issue, like, take politics out of it for a minute. What really the story we have is a man in a position of significant power taking advantage of a younger woman who did not have power at that moment.
Yeah.
And that's not really how that narrative still treats her.
Right.
I mean, to this day, people call her a slut.
Yeah.
Which, like, that's not even a word I use. That's not even, that's a social construct. That's a goofy word. It's so stupid. It's because the only place where women are allowed to have pleasure is poop yogurt ads and fat-free yogurt ads and chocolate ads. So God forbid, you know, you have pleasure anywhere else because then you're a filthy slut.
Poop yogurt. Oh, you're talking about
like Activia. Oh, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis like savors those poop yogurts.
For a minute there, I was like, poop yogurt.
Poop yogurt.
Is this like a Gwyneth Paltrow thing? I don't know.
And then you rub the poop yogurt. Yeah. No. No. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like Activia and stuff,
sorry.
Right. I just don't know what to call that, but it's poop yogurt. Clearly, there's issues with poop that no one knew they had until poop yogurt came out.
Yeah, there you go. Bingo.
Yeah. So I think the bigger issue is really how history has treated Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
As this like vile temptress.
Right.
Like, well, two people in the world know everything that happened, and even then, you can only see things from your own filter.
Sure.
And, you know, so there are two truths to that,
right?
To that story, hers and his, and for the most part, the public narrative and the history has not really acknowledged the predatory nature of it. I mean, it's largely been in his favor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think across the political spectrum, it's largely been in his favor.
Mm-hmm.
It's largely been about her being, you know, wanting power and advancement and tempting him and, you know.
Yeah. No,
it's very
true.
Little have been about him taking advantage of a woman in a who was not a peer, who didn't have the power that he did in that moment.
And you know, I think that one of the hard things about this sort of issue is that I don't know. I mean, you look at what's happening right now with, and this covers the landscape in terms of politics, you know, which political side somebody's on or not on or whatever. But the just everything coming out right now. I don't know that this, I do know that this wasn't going to, this wouldn't have happened back when Clinton was president. It just wasn't going to happen then. You know, I don't think women were going to come forward. I don't think they were ready to come forward not their fault. I mean, because of our, you know.
I think there was a lot of demonizing of feminism in that time, too.
Yeah.
From a lot of angles. In particular, women, we talked about this last week, like women Hillary's age. That didn't stay at home baking cookies comment did a lot. And I think it was around that time where really there was a very, I think that's when we first started kind of seeing the word feminazi.
from Rush Limbaugh, Uncle Rush.
Yeah, you know, that's like we there was like a new, it was like conservatives kind of doubled down on making feminism the enemy at that point.
Right, right.
And so I think, absolutely, I think the result is there was a lot of microaggressions that came from like good intentioned moms, even of like calling women in power bitches, and like even women who kind of liked, maybe had voted for Clinton, like didn't like Hillary or thought she represented things that she couldn't have, things like that. I think there was just like a lot of power dynamics shifting at that moment. I think a lot happened for feminism in that moment. I think I mean, Riot Girl was emerging at that time, you know, so there was a lot of stuff counter to it too, but it was a weird time for feminism.
Yeah, I just don't, not that it had to wait all the way until now necessarily. I mean, there's other factors at play here, but I think that as a culture, we had to get to a certain point before all of this could start happening.
Totally agreed.
Before women would feel safe enough to start coming forward, and then you kind of, the dam breaks and everybody feels more supported and more solidarity. And so that's where these arguments, it's such a stupid fucking argument, really, because it's like, well, where were you when I'm like, look, Bill Clinton could have fucked a sheep for all I know, but that has nothing to do with Roy Moore cruising.
I think in pictures. I'm just letting you know.
With Roy Moore cruising the mall for teen girls, you know, allegedly. So,
and at the end of the day, there was the power dynamic, but Monica Lewinsky was over 18. Yeah. She was an adult.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of differences, but I mean, in terms of just, it's just this whataboutism again. I have never said, I think Bill Clinton is a great guy, and I forgive all the things he's done. But it's like people are like, if you don't write a pointed expose on the fact that he's a sexual predator, then you have no business talking about anybody else.
Why would that be relevant?
Right, and that's what I don't understand.
For you to like write down a takedown of a president from the 90s.
Yeah, how far back do I have to go?
And right? P.S., he's not the first perv that's been in high office somewhere. Like, he's not the first man to take advantage of a woman sexually with his power.
Right.
Nor is politics that. Like, we make that point all the time. Like, I say this about sports all the time. Like, when there was like a rape allegation that emerged against Patrick Kane, like immediately there was so much backlash against anyone who said, well, let's just wait and see what emerges. Story just broke, right? Right away, people were like, she's a gold digger. And I was like, whoa. Like, I was right there on air at that time. And I said, you know, hey, hold up. Can we agree that sometimes men in positions of power take advantage of it?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Right.
And like, even that was like pulling teeth.
Yeah.
I'm like, yes or no? Do you think ever, men sometimes take advantage of power?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, but I'm not saying he's guilty. I'm not either. I'm just saying.
We're having a conversation.
Let it be possible
that
if someone assaults you, that you can do something about it.
Yeah.
And I think we're not anywhere close to that. You know, if you complain of sexual harassment in the workplace, like immediately, unless you have another person saying this person also did this to me too, you're going to be made to feel crazy. You're going to be yes, but he's got a family. So whatever. Who cares? He made the choice to come to work and be a creep. Like if you accuse someone of sexual assault, like it's your motive is going to be examined and his promising future. It's never going to be compared fairly, ever. So I don't think we're anywhere near there. But but it is kind of mind-boggling as you're saying that to think of like the very early 90s, like how long. I feel like some of us have been thinking about this shit. Like in probably 92 or 3, maybe. I don't know. I was at a concert and I wrote a bunch of slogans on my arms with Sharpie in the prime of Riot Girl-ness.
Nice.
And had rushed the stage and had someone, you know, some stranger throw me in the air. And I was like up and I threw my arms out by my side so that, you know, because it was important for me that Perry Farrell be able to read the political slogans written across my arms. Sure, he's going to fix it. Whatever. That's just what you did. And
he had a lot of heroin that night.
He was taking a lot of drugs, so I probably looked like a dragon to him. But that's okay. But it was like, that's the things you did. And it was like, to think of, wow, that was a long-ass time ago. Like 1992 or 3 was a very long time ago to think that like all the dumb shit like I've tried to get through to the patriarchy in decades.
Yeah.
Good luck to you, Amy Guth. Your life has been a waste. The patriarchy doesn't care.
We have come so not far.
Right. I finally got that Sharpie off, though.
Yeah, there you go. It took a while.
Yeah.
It's strange. And I don't, it feels impossible to have a conversation about so many things. And you look
with
at
who?
A lot, just in you know, with anybody. I mean, like I said, you want to talk about Roy Moore, and we should talk about Roy Moore.
Yeah.
Because again, this is not, you know, he's not running for like, you know, local city council. I mean, he's running to be a senator.
Even if he was.
Right. Even if exactly. But I mean, it's a really, you know, this is a significant position of power.
And you should expect that if, like, here's the thing. If you are going into any sort of public role, I think you have to assume people are going to scrub your background.
Yeah.
Why would you not?
Well, and the thing that, that's the other thing is that people are saying, like, well, this hasn't, he's saying, in fact, well, this hasn't come up in 40 years of public office, because he was, I mean, he was on the Alabama Supreme Court. He was a Supreme Court justice, head of the Supreme Court, all this stuff. But look at what's happening to the women who have come forward now. They're getting absolutely harassed.
Yeah.
They're getting doxxed. They're getting, I mean, all kinds of crap. And everybody, and not just in that case, you're seeing in all kinds of other cases where women have stepped forward, from big to small, them just getting attacked. I mean, I've seen people who have, you know, just talked about their own personal experience on Twitter, and they're getting harassed over it.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's
I saw people getting harassed over Me Too, over things that happened decades ago.
Yeah,
so I saw a woman, I don't even know her very well, she's like friend of friend of friend, but she said something in when Me Too was happening, and she said, you know, in whatever, the late 80s, this was a thing that happened in an office, and described a really tense, like it was a kind of an intense read, just really, you know, hearing her experience. And then the first comment was like, bet you got paid out really well, bitch. And I was like,
yeah, see this.
Like this. And she opened by saying, I've never talked about this in public.
Right.
I've internalized it all these years, but I realize this is happening. I need to say something. And like, that was the first comment. I'm just like, no wonder.
Right. Exactly. No wonder. Like, so that's why the people saying, well, if it didn't come out in 40, it's like, you know what?
Mm-mm.
Now you're just being ridiculously dense about things.
And also, why would you possibly defend somebody who might be guilty of being a sexual predator to minors?
I know.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Why don't you just hold on? And then, because if you go on record right now as being like, I think he's fine, and then everything gets proven, you know, and it's like more evidence emerges, and there's like irrefutable evidence that he can't deny it anymore. Or if he comes forward and says, okay, you're right, I did.
Yeah.
You're going to look like an asshole.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and this is way beyond. This is not just like, you know, somebody, random person floated, hey, did you hear he's a child molester?
No.
I mean, this is a Washington Post initial report that was rock solid and incredibly well vetted and reported. And then it was the local Alabama. I mean, honestly, at this point now, based on what I've been reading from like the Alabama papers, I mean, it's like everybody in this town is like, oh yeah, we knew him. You know,
right.
I mean, it's like, of course, he was banned from the mall, and he'd been. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, well, what were you guys just sitting on this? You're like that argument of like, well, 40 years and nobody said anything. It's like, well, they all apparently knew.
Yeah.
Like, it isn't our fault they didn't say anything.
And that's the thing, right? Like we were talking about this last week. How, not only do we need women. You know, is it important that if you feel compelled to speak up, to do so and support other women when they do? But it's extremely important. Like the next beat here is that men need to not fucking cover for other men.
Right. Where were the men who knew about this? I mean, good God, if I knew about somebody that was, you know, some 30-year-old who was scamming on teenagers.
Right, like say you had a colleague who was like, hey, man, I got this 13-year-old or 14-year-old. You'd be like.
Yeah, I wouldn't even talk.
I'm sorry, what?
I wouldn't even talk to that dude. I'd be off to the, you know, either the police or the boss or, you know, somebody and be like, I don't know what the hell's going on here, but somebody needs to stop this because this is, wow, this is messed up.
And I think there's, I mean, you tell me, I've never been invited to the patriarchy meetings for obvious reasons. Tell me about the man meetings. but, you know, it just seems like there's this feeling of like, yeah, he was always cool to me. Like, I'm not going to bother that guy. He hadn't done anything to me. Like, for the most part, like, in your day-to-day activities, like, if someone's not fucking with you, don't fuck with them. But when the stakes are high like this, when you're talking about, like, the safety of a minor or someone who's being a sexual predator, then I think you need to get yourself a set of ovaries and do the right thing here and perhaps move a bit outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Don't worry about the squeaky wheel shit.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Because at some point, you're making the choice. My friendship with this asshole or the safety of a 14-year-old.
Right.
Those are your choices.
Yeah, and that doesn't, I don't know how that's a choice for anybody. And again, I'm not trying to sound like I'm holier than thou or whatever, anybody, but it's like, God, how do you not?
Right.
It baffles me. That really baffles me. Because it's not, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, he's dating younger women.
Oh, no, no,
it's
no, no.
It's teenage. I mean, like record scratch. Whoa.
Right.
I mean, that is not no, we don't do that, and nor should anybody, and blah blah blah. So yeah, that's messed up. And then one of my favorite things now, did you hear about Sean Hannity's ultimatum that he set for Roy Moore?
Oh yeah.
24 hours. Roy Moore has to, what the hell is going
on? Who are you?
Yeah, Sean Hannity is just the biggest, I mean, he's such, it's so disgraceful, everything that he's doing right now. I mean, he's literally propaganda for Trump, and it's just pathetic. But yeah, I mean, with Roy Moore, he said he needs 24 hours to convince me that these allegations are not true. Otherwise, I'm going to rescind my, you know, support for him or whatever. It's like, how cares what you say? But then I read a thing also that I think it was Ezra Klein had a source saying that Trump is apparently waiting to hear what Hannity decides. Like, what kind of backwards? Actually,
this is lunacy.
It's lunacy. But I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. But I wrote Tuesday's column this week.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a thing about how crazy this all is.
Yeah.
Saying, like, if there are any sane people out there, please tell me that I'm actually seeing what I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I have never gotten that as big a response to a column.
Really?
As I did from that. Hundreds of emails. Almost all of them with the subject line, "You're not alone."
It
was
wow.
Like, it was, I felt like I was listening to Rock and Roll Suicide by David Bowie.
Oh my God, I want to cry. That's so lovely.
No, it was, I think I'm actually going to do a follow-up column for Friday because it was astonishing. I couldn't, but I mean, of course there were a few like, fuck you, you know, mm-hmm. you are alone. But but it was like, I mean, 100-1.
Wow.
And nutso. So I think that, but that's what, I mean, that really is where we are right now, where people are just like, wait, the president is waiting for Sean Hannity to decide about the child molester suspected dude in Alabama who's also doesn't believe Muslims should serve and thinks gay people are evil. I mean, it's like, what the hell is happening? I mean, it makes no sense. I'm sorry.
So if we were smart, Hupke, this is what we'd do. We'd keep feigning outrage and keep saying things like, it's so stressful, I don't know what to do. And then, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and then everybody off the radar should be organizing their asses off.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Keep saying, like, oh, my gosh, I'm so mad at Sean
Hannity.
I'm upset. I'm upset. Oh, that's right. I'm a snowflake. Yep. Organize, 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 organize. Win office.
Yeah, right. You know, that's what has to happen.
That's what we need to do.
And, you know,
not like you and I in particular. Although, right. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we can start a super PAC. Some sweet bank. Guth and Hupke on your money.
What office would we run for Guth if we were like one candidate? Gupke for. Gupke for.
I want to be secretary. How about treasury secretary so we can get our names on the money?
Mostly so we can release like gifs of us doing like make it rain things. Just being complete assholes.
Yeah. My big gold tooth.
Oh no, with a dollar bill sign on it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Nope. I don't like that. How about a more dignified office?
Are there any?
I don't know what's left.
I don't consider any public office to be dignified at this point. But,
well, I think there's my worry and hope. I hope that we can keep paying a lot of attention to local level politics while having national outrage.
Yeah.
Because that, I mean, that down people skip over down ballot, you know, and people. I've never once stood in line to vote without someone making a joke about, like, I don't know who the hell's running up there. I'm just here to vote for the president.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, there's a reason why local elections are not as attended as president. You know, like, you wait for hours to vote for the president, but 10 minutes for a local election.
Yeah.
You know, I think we cannot overlook down ballot people. We cannot overlook local elections. We cannot.
Big time.
And we need to. You know, the role of a community organizer is, I mean, that's often your last thing you do before formally entering politics. And it's really important to prop up people that are doing good work in the community, paid, unpaid, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, people at the helm of some, you know, modest nonprofits, but people that are doing impactful work. I think it's really important to put visibility on them and put, you know, I try to balance my national tweets with anytime I tweet about something national, I have to go find some international story that people are probably not talking about in this country. And then I try to find a local level story to make sure that my Twitter feed is not all. I don't always succeed. Sometimes I'm like, fuck it. There's a cute puppy. I'm going to tweet him instead. That's better. I like it. But like, that's what I aim to do just because I don't want to contribute to the you know, to the white noise. Did you read that book, DeLillo's White Noise?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I think it's a bit of a timely read right now. It's more about capitalism than politics, but both, really.
Has it been made into a movie or a Netflix show yet? Because otherwise I'm not going to.
Is Harry Hamlin in it? Otherwise, no.
Yeah, you're right. I think Virginia was a good sign when it comes to down ballot stuff because that was like a whoop. And, you know, everybody was like, holy crap, all these Democrats won. And, you know, it was pretty striking.
Yeah. And it felt like a, hey, look over there. Yep. Scooting this direction.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Because, no, people didn't see that coming. So who knows? I don't, you know, we'll see.
Okay. Well, we may have to run for office. Gupke for governor.
Governor? Okay. Governor Gupke. I just like the way it sounds, so that'd be okay.
We could, like, sleep in shifts. So, like, one of us is the night governor, one of us is the day governor. We could be the most productive governor ever.
That would be cool, yeah. I want to be night governor.
No. I want to be night governor. That's way awesomer
than... Rex Upke, night governor.
No, day governor has to, like, go to meetings and ribbon cuttings and shit. Night governor can just be a badass.
Just get to run around. I get to get in my socks and slide around on the floor in the mansion.
Night governor. We are literally the worst.
Yes, indeed.
We really are. Well, and we're also out of time. Just in time, we're out of time. So, prediction for the week ahead.
You know what? We haven't heard a lot from Robert Mueller lately. I'm wondering when the next shoe's going to drop there. I haven't heard any rumblings one way or the other. But
yeah, that's a good one.
That would be some interesting developments.
Sure.
I think Trump turns on Roy Moore. And
oh, real fast.
Yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't done it yet.
Me too.
Apparently he's waiting for Hannity.
And Hannity's like working out
the shadow president
situation.
yeah, right. But yeah, so I think that happens. But, you know, Roy Moore's not going to. So, I mean, I really think the most likely thing is that ballot, they get a write in and that the Republicans are split down there. So I think they're kind of. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to cut bait pretty quick, the Republicans. Well, they really already have. I mean, you know,
And should continue to do so.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, I think we're going to hear a little more out of the Roy Moore case. I think. I agree. I think, yeah, we haven't heard from Mueller in a while. That would be good. That would be interesting. I think there'll probably be another couple of beats that emerge in that Trump Jr. kerfuffle.
Yeah, that was a.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, that was a significant one.
That was kind of exciting, so I'll take more of those.
I hope Trump distances himself from his son.
Yeah, what did he call him? A quality individual, a quality person?
Yeah, quality. He's going to come out and say, you know, he was my son, but I didn't really know him. He was kind of a small-time player in my
orbit. I don't
really
recall. Like, you know, I have children that are tremendous people, amazing, like the best people. He is not one of them. Yeah. I don't really know him. He, in fact, is one of Marla Maples.
Yeah.
He's basically with Tiffany.
I am not sure if he actually is my son.
God. But father, they're terrible.
Daddy. Oh, God, they really are.
Oh, my Lord, this wacky family keeps us in front of microphones.
Yes, it does, indeed.
For that, I was going to say for that, I'm grateful.
Nah,
I'm not grateful for anything. We could find something to talk about Hupke either way. All right, well, that's all for Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time. Try not to be douchebags to each other on Twitter.